Hello and welcome to Shoes Off No Cap, a podcast where we talk about all things dance. Today we have the one and only Dalila Samad, who is an absolute whirlwind of a mover. Dalila started dancing at around the age of 17, and having fallen in love with dance, she pursued a diploma and proceeded to continue with a bachelor's degree and dance at Aswara. Aswara is our National Academy of Arts, Culture and Heritage. In this podcast, Dalila details about life at Aswara, working for a national dance company, and the importance of proliferating our traditional dances. Of course, we had to ask her about her experience choreographing and performing for the ubiquitous Datuk Siti Nurhaliza. So sit back, relax, hold on to your songkoks and tudungs, and let's dive in deep with No Cap. Hello, Aka. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
We're all okay. So it's just me and Diana and Sean over here today. We're going to be talking with Dalila. Aka Dalila is a really, really good friend of mine. She's also a teammate. We do seismic together. She has taught me a lot, especially when I was in Organization 13. She was always very patient and she's an incredibly talented mover and she's very unique in the way that she choreographs and puts out her art. So Aka, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you started your dance journey? You know, how does one person become Dalila Abdul Samad and how do you turn into Aka Dalila, you know?
I am actually an Aswara graduate. So if you don't know Aswara, Aswara stands for Akademi Seni Budaya dan Warisan Kebangsaan. In English, it is the National Academy of Arts and Heritage. So I started quite late actually. Aswara is where I started learning dance formally. And then I was offered to be an apprentice in ASK Dance Company and then full-time in ASK Dance Company where I worked for 5 years. There in ASK Dance Company, we train in whatever that we learned in Aswara. To be qualified to be in ASK Dance Company, you have to graduate from Aswara. So in ADC, I shot from ASK Dance Company into ADC. We train in traditional Malay dance. We train in Bharatanatyam, which is a classical Indian dance. We train in ballet, contemporary, and we also choreograph and we also teach. Yeah, we travel around the world performing for festivals or joining competitions, countries like Hawaii, Korea, Japan, Vietnam, China, Taiwan.
Wow.
Yeah, it has been amazing. And I resigned from ADC last October. Now I am the founder of my own company, which is DS Dance Company.
Yeah. Congratulations on your new company, Dalila.
Thank you. The reason I started dance quite late was because I didn't intend to be a dancer when I was, you know, younger. My family always encouraged me to become a doctor or anything that has to do with the science industry or the science stream punya occupation is what you call it. So I actually just had my dance exposure from my cultural club. And
where did
also
you go?
I went to CHS, Catholic High School in Jalan Gasing PJ. It's a Chinese school.
Okay.
Yeah, so I do speak Mandarin.
I see.
I had a wonderful teacher. Her name is Puan Wan. She's very bubbly and she was very willing to share about everything that she knows about traditional dance. And her husband is actually an actor's coach. So we actually did a bit of theater, dance and theater hand in hand. That's where I kind of gotten my exposure in dance. And then on the side during weekends, I would join classes in my nearby dance studio, like Soul to Soul Dance Studio, where I learned from Maybelline.
First
started out. And then there's one more studio nearby, Kepong, which I really forgot because I went there like very briefly and I learned jazz from there. But that was basically it. That was basically my dance exposure. Very, very informal. It was just for fun. When I pursued my education in A-levels at Ta College, Tunku Abdul Rahman College, I was actually exposed to quite a lot of dancers from Freedom Dance Studios. A lot of them were from Ta College, so that's when I met Nina, Pauline, I met Elaine, Elaine Chiang, and that's when I was further exposed to more dancers. And in front of my eyes, I saw breaking, I saw whacking, I even saw contemporary, I saw Chinese traditional dance, and it was very, very overwhelming. And I just remember feeling so inspired. And then after I finished my A-levels, I actually got into a flash mob under Maybank, and that's when I did dances from Aswara.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I was
what year was this?
This was probably around 2014, 2013. That time, Emma Tosh, I don't know if you know Emma Tosh.
Yeah, Emma Tosh.
Abang Fas and your wife.
Correct. Fast punya wife, Emma Tosh and her classmates were all there. And I just remember seeing them freestyling, you know, like doing all this cool dancing stuff. And then I was like, wow, bestnya. So I actually approached one of them and then I just asked like, you guys belajar Aswara ke? And then they were like, yeah. And I just kept asking questions, how was Aswara like and stuff. And I went back home and did my own research. And then I actually registered myself for audition for their next intake. I went for the audition, I went for the interview and I got the offer letter.
Wow.
What is the name of the full program?
It's called Diploma Tari.
I see.
Dekat Aswara. When I got the offer letter, my mom actually knew that I was going to try out for the audition. She said, yo, no harm. You want to try lah. I guess she did not expect that I would got the offer to be one of the students in Aswara. My mom pun jam. Dia macam, okay, so what do you want to do now? And then I said, well, I think I want to try it, Lama. She did not answer me straight away. She said, let me think. And then I said, okay. So then the next day, she came out with a deal. And then she said, okay, you can go and pursue your studies in Aswara, but you have to study business part-time also.
Oh. I see.
Yeah, so that was the deal. And then I was like, but how do I study business part-time? Do I do it online ke, you know? Or do I do it like macam a short course? And then she's like, no. She wants me to do like a full degree in business.
So then
we did our research and then I enrolled myself in Open University Malaysia where I would join weekend classes to pursue my degree in business also. But that only lasted for 2 semesters. I made a counter deal to my mom. I was like, mommy, I really want to do this. Can you just give me a chance to put all my focus and all my hard work in this diploma? And if at any time you are not satisfied with how I am doing, I would quit and I would do business and I won't look back. And then she was like, wow, you are really serious about this? And then I was like, yeah. And she said, okay, but I'll hold on to your word. If at any point I am not satisfied, you're going to quit, okay? And I was like, yes. So I made sure I worked my ass off lah.
So has she been unsatisfied?
No, she was very weirded out at first. You know, it was, my mom was one of the parents where she got really worried and skeptical about her daughter pursuing the arts and her daughter being a dancer pursuing arts. So that was a first time in the family. Yes, she was a gymnast. Yes, she was a musician before that, but never a dancer. Just something about being a dancer that is very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable topic. And it took her a long while. It took her and my family a really long while to actually accept what I do. They couldn't accept that I was getting back home late, even though, you know, if you go to uni, it's pretty normal that you're going to spend a lot of time in uni. But the fact that I was spending a lot of time dancing, which is what I'm studying, she's not really comfortable with that. But then eventually, I still remember the first time she said that she was proud with me was when I was in LA representing Malaysia for the World Championships of Performing Arts. And she was right there beside me the whole way through. And one night she just looked at me and said, you know, Dal, I'm really proud of you.
Aww.
And then at that time, I was just like, don't start, mommy. But yeah, oh my God. That's basically how I started. And here I am now.
Nice. That's such a wonderful journey. So how long were you in Aswara?
I did my diploma from 2012 to 2015, my bachelor in arts degree, 2015 to 2017, 2 years. Yeah. So that's total of 5 years in Aswara.
It's quite standard. It's a bit like when people like take 2 years to do A-levels or pre-U, and then, or they do diploma and then they do credit transfer to go and do a degree. It's about the same time, right? 5 years?
I would say it's pretty standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you did A-levels as well before that, right?
Yeah, I did A-levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completed it. One thing about my mom is she doesn't like us doing things halfway. So even though we don't like it, we have to finish it. But she gave me an exception for my business degree because I was not getting any sleep. I was really struggling to even breathe. So I knew that time it was too much.
What subjects did you take for A-levels? Whenever I hear someone on the show say that they did A-levels, I always want to ask what subjects did you guys do? And then it kind of gives you a snapshot of that person.
I did general paper, physics, chem, bio. And I think something to do with maths, maybe. You see, I don't even remember what subject I took.
That's a lot of A-levels, though.
Yeah, that's five subjects. Five subjects is a lot.
Yeah, I took five.
Oh, damn.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
You must be one smart kid.
I'm mediocre, I would say.
I only took three A-levels.
Yeah, I only took three as well. Okay, guys.
The thing is, my results were not great.
Do you mind me asking, why do you think your mom felt very uncomfortable about you being a dancer?
I guess it's about maybe she doesn't know how my future would be like, because honestly at that time I pun tak tahu what were the opportunities presented if I were to choose to be a dancer as a career. I just remember it was just a calling for me to really learn dance, and I just wanted to do it. At that time I had a firm belief that if I work hard, I can make it work. But I rasa my mom was just worried because there was not a single person in the family that pursued arts. Everyone was an architect, everyone was a doctor, everyone was in business. No one was in the art.
Business is not science.
That's true.
It doesn't really matter, basically.
To me, in every field, there needs to be some level of creativity.
Yeah.
I agree with Diana.
But I think that was the main reason why. She's not fully against it. She was just not sure. But she still let me pursue it. Now I really thank her for that, even though she was being hesitant most of the time, but she still trusted my decision.
It is incredibly heartwarming to hear, because we often hear about people who have it the other way around. You know, they have this burning passion for it. They want to do it, but they don't get the approval or blessing for it. So, I'm really, really happy that your mom, auntie, your mom was really understanding about this. And if she didn't approve of it from the very beginning, our dancing wouldn't be able to have someone as passionate and as amazing as Dalila, you know?
Aww, yeah. Mommy, if you're listening, I love you.
Let's go back to Aswara. I guess you kind of mentioned what you learned in Aswara, but can you just explain more how your studies shaped you to become how you are a dancer today?
So actually, when in Aswara, we usually start our day 8:00 and then we do 1 hour of warm-up, that will consist of weight training and stamina exercises. And then our classes, dance classes, would start from 9 all the way up to 6 p.m. And then sometimes if we have productions, we even end our rehearsals at 10 p.m. So it was really just grinding Monday to maybe Sunday, even Saturday. So Aswara's training really, really helped me to be a versatile dancer, I would say, because I was exposed to all these dance styles, and every day we would train each one of them. In a week, probably one genre will consist of 3 days, and each day would be start off from the basics. So tarian piring, where the basics is just bouncing, but we have to squat, do an Asian squat. And by the end of the day, your legs are just sore, everything, you just cannot move. So it really, really tested my patience. It really, really, tested my stamina as well. And it really tested how fast I could adapt.
What is that? Tarian piring?
Tarian piring. So you actually dance.
Because I'm not very familiar with it.
Okay. So tarian piring, you hold 2 piring in your hand, at the palm of your hand, and then you just wave it up and down. And then it consists of very sharp movements, just you playing with the piring. So how you do it, you're just moving your wrist So the beneath your arms and then up and over, you have to slap it in front of your face, something like that. Yeah.
Do you use like a glass piring or?
Piring pernah pecah tak?
Yeah, bila I mula-mula belajar tarian piring ni, I trauma, okay? Like, I don't handle props well. You know, they really scare me. And plus, it's glass. And some of my friends are the same. But in their case, it's worse because their hands tend to sweat. And when your hands sweat, it's slippery and the piring can easily slide off your hand. It's really challenging dance, but I really, really love it. I loved it so much that I practiced very, very hard in that dance until I was chosen to actually be selected to perform in one of our final year punya dance. During our final exam, it's divided into two. They will have studio exam and they will have a performance. You will only be graded for your studio exam where you have to perform all 9 dances, which consists of traditional Malay dance, Chinese, Indian, ballet, contem, and also Sabah Sarawak ethnic dance. So you have to perform all 9 dances non-stop and you'll be graded on one whole day itself. So during the performance, they will actually pick and choose who danced the best in whatever genre, and then you will perform. So in the end of the day, in the performance day, you only perform certain dances.
What are you graded on?
We are graded on our techniques and obviously whether or not we do any mistakes, our performance skills, and also how we maintain the aesthetics of the dance and how are we able to show different sides of us.
I have a question on the daily schedule. Can you say like it's from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's like a lot of hours.
It's a lot, like, yeah.
Do you have like breaks in the day, or like do you just like, is it all physical kind of classes, or I'm sure you have theory classes as well? How does it work?
It looks like long hours, but actually in between there are theory classes. And if this is not physical, although there's a certain amount of discussions, a lot of observing. So some classes can be more physical than other classes. So in a way, I would say it's pretty balanced, even though it's long hours. You're just basically learning everything about dance from 9 to 6. And our theory classes include history of dance, critics and aesthetics in dance, and also tari dan multimedia. Yeah, mostly these 3 topics. And also how to write thesis. All those are normal university subjects we have to learn also, like pengajian am, pendidikan Islam, all that. We still have to learn, and that's considered macam subject teras lah.
You mentioned briefly about going to Hawaii and Korea. Can you like just talk about it more?
Yeah, sure. The most recent one I went under ADC was Hawaii for the Asia Pacific Dance Festival. So usually in festivals, it really depends when they invite the dance company what they want to see from you. Mostly when we go to these festivals, they really, really want to see our traditional dance and also how we contemporarize our traditional dance. So yeah, for ADC, that's what we are most sought after for. For the one in Hawaii, we performed traditional dances and also contemporary dances and also traditional dance fusion with contemporary. And we also had to present a few papers regarding our traditional dances, mostly like sharing with them the history of our traditional dance and how it evolves, and also a few critical and analytical questions from the audience, Q&A and stuff like that. On top of that, they also opened up workshops for us where students from University of Hawaii can learn traditional Malay dances from us. So we taught tarian terinai, which is a Malay classical dance. We taught silat tari, which is, silat is a Malay martial arts, tapi we kind of made it into like a dance sequence. We did tarian sewang, tarian zapin. That's mostly Malay traditional dance.
So it was like a cultural exchange lah.
Correct. Yeah. And in return, we get to learn the hula. It is not easy, guys.
Yeah, I've seen it. Like I saw on TikTok.
Oh, it is not easy. You know, your lower body is doing something different and your upper body is doing something different.
Yeah, it's more on the hips, right?
It's all about the hips. No, and I don't know, like when they present hula, they have such amount of pride in their culture that you can just see it in their eyes, you know. And hula, I only thought that hula was just like one type of, you know, dance, you know, in commercials or in TV. That's what I saw. But when they explained the history of hula and the diverse styles and aesthetics that they have in hula, I mean, it's just amazing. And the way they connect to the food they eat, the plant they grow, they just really, really worship their culture. And it's so amazing to see. And I wish Malaysia, you know, would do the same.
This kind of residency, was it under ADC?
Yes, ADC yeah. was invited by University of Hawaii to perform. So that's an advantage being in a dance company, especially like a dance company. ADC has been established for 10 years. So they definitely have built their connections and, you know, they do a lot of experimental work. You know, in the dance industry, we can clearly separate companies that do commercial dancing, companies that do industry dancing, and companies that do experimental work. And, you know, so ADC is more considered in the experimental company. They preserve the traditional dance culture, but at the same time, they're not afraid to really choreograph, to really, how to say, expand more vocabularies from there. That, I would say, is the more academic side of the dance industry. Meaning they want to look more than just beyond a simple choreography. They want to know in depth why you are dancing what you dance and why you choreograph what you choreograph. As long as you're able to validate that and as long as people find it interesting, then I guess you're on the right track. You have to just keep thinking and really find depth in your craft, basically.
So that's it. Like, what was your like role at ADC and how does that gel with all the performing and the residency and the teaching and all that? Like, how does it all come together?
My role in ADC started off, like I said, as an apprentice. Apprentice, really, you just learn all the repertoires in the company. Repertoires meaning there are certain choreographies that will perform time to time. We only create new choreographies when, like in a year, maybe we will create maybe one or two new choreography, because for us, we take a long process to create a choreography. So that's why we train repertoires so that on standby so that we can perform whenever needed. Yeah. So apprentices, we learn company repertoires. And when I work full time as a soloist, that's when we have to choreograph and we have to teach and also keep performing the repertoires. And we also have to handle the management side of the company. So each of us were assigned roles. For my role is to handle the marketing side or, you know, the connection side, like building connections, like keep contacts in check and helping to reply emails or helping to sort out company merchandise. Things like that.
Are there essentially two groups or levels to it, apprentice and soloist? I think maybe it's like ballet punya dance company where they have like, what do they call the ballet and then soloist and then principal dancer.
Yeah, I call it the hierarchy, basically.
Yeah, the hierarchy.
Yeah, it's basically like that. You know, you basically go up the ranking according to the number of years you actually spent in the company.
As an apprentice, how many years is that?
As an apprentice, it's usually you study and work in the company part-time. I was an apprentice because at that time I was doing my degree. So apprentice usually in 1 week, we only have to attend work around 4 hours. Macam tu.
Okay, yeah. So you were in ADC when you were in Aswara juga.
Yes, right after I graduated my diploma, I was offered to become an apprentice in ADC. Yeah. At the same time, I wanted to pursue my bachelor's degree. And then they said you can do that part-time because company rehearsals won't interfere with your schoolwork. So that's fine.
Okay. So you climbed the ladder to become a soloist right after your degree?
No, I was only a soloist probably 2 years after working full time with ADC. After apprentice, then maybe it's you are called like a full time dancer, and then only I was offered soloist. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And obviously, your gaji pun naik sikit-sikit lah.
Wait, I wanted to ask, but I don't know if this is like a sensitive thing. Like, what's the salary, the base of it? I don't know. Is this a bit?
Okay. Yeah, I can't give you the exact amount, it's really, really basic.
Okay, basic salary.
The reason why, because ADC actually most dance company in the whole world are actually funded by an organization. So for ADC's case, they are actually funded by Yayasan Saindabi. So every year ADC will propose a budget and then YSD will kind of review it and they would give us an amount of funding which would cover our teaching projects, our community teaching projects, and also the salary for dancers. I think that's how ADC is able to do what we do and still survive till now. Yeah, because most dance company, they need to do more commercial work, more teaching in order to sustain themselves. But ADC is given the opportunity to actually give free community classes, which was very, very important for YSD. And honestly, it is what ADC stand behind for, actually, to really provide free dance classes and to really make it easy for all Malaysians to learn dance. And if I may talk a little bit about what ADC does, especially their community outreach program, they actually started, when I went in, they called this community program Building Bridges. So where we will travel all around Malaysia and we would choose the schools that have the least exposure. Like macam kat kampung-kampung dalam-dalam. You know, so even in Borneo, we would choose kampung-kampung Sarawak yang kat dalam, Sabah, kampung-kampung yang dalam. And we would teach these kids for free, teachers and students for free. So Building Bridges, for a brief moment, we taught them all kinds of dances. We taught them Malay, Chinese, Indian. We even taught a bit of street dance, you know. They were so happy. It's really, really heartwarming and really, really satisfying to see that they enjoy what we actually teach, you know, and how dance can actually bring people together, and how some of the students that we teach actually enrolled themselves in Aswara because they were really inspired to become a dancer. And and those are the things where that's why we do it for free, and that's why we don't mind doing it, and it's all possible because of the funding that we get. So then after Building Bridges, it became Forging Traditions, Training the Trainers, where we aim to teach and train the teachers. Because why teachers? When we train the teachers, teachers can actually pass down the knowledge to their students. So we aim for the teachers so that, you know, teachers, generation after generation, they can keep teaching the younger generations. And hopefully the ripple effect will triple, quadruple. And that's our aim. Our aim is really just to keep the traditional Malay dance alive and just keep dance alive in general and make it accessible to all. So that they do what ADC does, the main core of it. But, you know, have doing all this, we still do commercial jobs, we still teach and all that just to sustain ourselves even more, because the funding from YSD is really basic and it's really to cover these community projects. That's the main reason. We still need to outsource other income also.
Oh, so ADC allows you to do like other jobs, like commercial jobs and all that.
Yeah.
Not related to ADC.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't interfere with work and as long as ADC's schedule is the main priority, then that's fine. That's how I got to join O13. Super 24 macam tu lah.
Sampai late night practice kan?
Sampai late night pukul 3-4 pagi. Ayo. I learned a lot in both worlds, yeah.
Can you like briefly maybe tell us about why you left ADC and also your foray into your own business?
The reason I resigned from ADC was actually I was at a point of my dancing career where I just felt stuck. I felt very stagnant. I feel I am not growing. I feel mentally not challenged, physically not challenged. Like I wanted to do more, but at the same time, I didn't want to do anything. So I was very confused as opposed to like, why am I feeling this? And I think it's probably because I had 5 amazing, amazing years with ABC. And being in a dance company is like going to a 9-to-5 job, basically, you know. Sometimes every day you do the same thing. You know, you learn the same repertoire, you perform the same performances and you're basically on autopilot mode. And at that point in my life, it was very exhilarating and it really further enhanced my skills as a dancer and as a performer. But I wanted to do more. And I was at a phase, my personal life like went through a next phase, as you can see in my image. And I just wanted to take things on my own terms. Mm. Yeah, I wanted to do things in my own way. I wanted to create my own path. And I wanted to really challenge myself and in my way, nurture dancers and really educate them and share my experience, how to survive in the dance industry, but still not sacrificing who you are as an artist. So I made the very, very tough decision to resign for me and also for the company. And at this point, I still remain very, very good terms with ADC. They support me in everything I do. My Insta stories, semua diorang react. my Instagram posts, everything they share. And they check up on me every once in a while. And ADC has really made me who I am today. Even though I choose to leave the company for personal reasons, I still wish them all the best. And without ADC, I wouldn't have gotten this far.
How about your dance company? How did that come about?
My dance company. Okay, my dance company. I was just going back and forth whether I should teach dance because I'm really passionate about dance. But at the same time, I'm also really passionate about choreographing and really infusing Malay traditional and all these vocabularies that I learned, traditional contemporary, and also a bit of street, a little bit of urban, if I may say. But yeah. And I'm just dying to put my choreography into other bodies. I know I can do this very casually with my friends and all that, but really having a company like how I trained in ADC, where we see each other every day, we train together, really makes a difference in terms of bonding and also in terms of how we dance to each other. So whenever you see a group that dances so in sync and they just read each other's mind, that's how I aim to be. And also, I really want to create opportunities for dancers out there. So I don't want Malaysia to just have one dance company. Each dance company in Malaysia should serve different purposes. So if ADC is like doing teaching and is focusing on traditional dance, contemporary, and also experimental work, and then we have Inner Space Dance Company, which is focusing on Indian dances. We have Dual Space Dance Company, which is focusing on contemporary and ballet. And Orang-Orang Drum Theatre, which is focusing on Chinese drums and also dance and also theatre and music. You know, all these dance companies, they serve different purpose. So for my dance company, I really, really, really want to just create another platform for dancers who are just like me, who have like all these mixed vocabularies in their body and just don't know what to do. I just want to gather them all and just experiment with me. And I also just want to ditch the stereotype of, you know, you have to really focus on one style and be the expert of it and be the master of the dance. For me, that goes to a certain extent, but I just can't deny how I actually feel. I really, really cannot just learn one style. I'm the type of person that I really love to learn all form of dances. That's how the idea of the company came about. And I started small with just two members, which is Amira and Athena. And it has been going great so far.
I feel like this is like going to be like your calling card, you know, like, you know, you are Datuk Siti DK punya choreographer. And there was one poster the other day, I think it was this dance competition that you were judging, right? And at that poster, there was like Dalila Samad, choreographer for Datuk Siti or something like that. I remember seeing
yes.
it.
Yes.
So, you know, like this is the $1 million question, you know, you have choreographed so many things. You know, you're a choreographer, you have directed, you have done shows, you have done stage productions. But how do you achieve that lofty goal that so many people have coveted? Choreograph and perform alongside Datuk Siti. How did that happen?
Oh my God. First of all, really alhamdulillah for the opportunity. Even like big or small opportunity, I take it as gold, you know, starting off in dance and to be able to actually choreograph for Datuk Siti Nurhaliza for her concert on tour was
fantastic.
It still gets to me every time I say it out my mouth, and that's why it took me a long while to actually put it in my resume. I only put it in my resume, I think, only a few months or after 1 year of choreographing for her, because I just can't believe it. And I didn't know whether I did enough justice for the choreography, honestly. But alhamdulillah, everything went well. So the main reason I actually got this opportunity was actually because of Sir Joseph Gonzalez, which is the creative director of ASK Dance Company. Shira's production, which was managing for Datuk Siti Nurhaliza's punya concert on tour, actually hired ADC to choreograph and also to perform with Datuk Siti Nurhaliza for all her tours. Yeah, for that particular tours, which included Singapore, Jakarta, and also Malaysia. And
how many shows was that?
That was 2 days for each country, which was 6 shows. Uh-huh. And then they added on another location, Australia, under Aussie Festival, if I'm not mistaken. But for that festival, we only did 1 show. So it was, I think, total around 7 shows. That's how I got the opportunity to choreograph for Datuk Siti Nurhaliza. And the reason why Sir Joseph chose me to become one of the choreographers, I mentioned one of the, because there's actually 3 choreographers for her concert tour. Yeah, it was nice. Naim Syarazat, Abang Naim Syarazat, and also Fauzi Amaruddin, Abang Poji. Both were my senior dancers in ADC, and I was actually chosen alongside with them because they wanted me to choreograph for her modern songs. Yeah, more jazzy feeling. You know lah, lagu Datuk Siti. Ha, dia macam klasik-klasik macam tu. So since I had more experience in modern dance and also commercial dancing, so they just wanted me to choreograph for a few of her songs and see how to also challenge myself lah. And also give me the opportunity to actually choreograph for a very big icon in Malaysia. So
ask what the process is like, because we've heard from Abang Buje, we've heard from Ezra how they choreograph, their process for choreographing for artists. Like, what is your process, you know, when you had to do this for Datuk Siti's productions?
All right, so for ADC, we really love to play. We will listen to the song, we will listen to the whole album of Datuk Siti, actually. So Abang Naim is already a big fan of Datuk Siti, that we all know, you know. For me, I have a few personal favorites. Basically, we just had to listen to all the songs that she was going to perform. And then the next day in the studio, we just go by, okay, first we nak buat traditional ke, we nak buat modern. So we started off with the traditional songs first, because that was a big chunk of it. I think it was 6 dances. So then traditional dancers, Abang Poji dengan Abang Naim were in charge. So whenever Abang Poji and Abang Naim choreograph, I will be assisting them, mostly like trying to mimic whatever they dance, and also to try and hafal whatever they choreograph, you know, because for us in ADC, we like to throw movements and see how we would react to the song first, and then we want to see it on other bodies, and if we see what we like, then we keep it. If not, then we kind of change it.
I see. Basically, it's a process of like just brainstorming and seeing what works.
Yeah, brainstorming, try out with single, try out with partner, and then discussing formations, discussing like the whole image on how we wanted it to be. Basically, we macam pecahkan the process to a few. We will break it down to, okay, first 2 hours, maybe kita just brainstorm steps je. Okay, vocab, steps. And then once our brains are fried with all the steps and all that, we take a break and then we think about formation and then the image and also costumes, you know, because all those play a huge part in the whole look of Datuk Siti Nurhaliza punya concert. So we want it to look great.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. How different is it to choreograph formation for, like, let's say a team set and versus like, you know, a set like this where you're backing up for an artist?
Yeah, that's really tricky because we're so used to choreographing pieces for like only dancers. But in this case, we kind of have to highlight Datuk Siti juga. We kind of have to make her look like she's also in the team. So we actually really challenge Datuk Siti to dance a lot.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she was such a sweetheart. Like, she wanted to learn everything, you know. Aww. And she really could. At certain performances, you can see like if something happens, then she will not do it. Then something something might have happened. Yeah, something might have happened. If not, she would have danced the whole choreography. Tapi she's able to just go in and out just like that. So that really shows that she really understands the choreography well in order for her to do that.
All of us have choreographed for teams, right? You know, when it's all dances, only you choreograph for teams, either like it's for a show or it's for a comp. Choreographing for an artist is something that I personally have never done. So I can't really visualize like what you need to take into account whenever you choreograph formation for an artist, you know? Like, do you just put her as the focal point for all your movements, or do you just like radiate around her and build around her or something like that? Like, can you just share a bit?
It's easy for me to give macam a few examples lah. Focal point is always a definite, like macam dia kat tengah-tengah, and then we will go around her macam, you know, make her the highlight, and she would do nothing and just stay pretty. That's like the classic move. Another one is we as dancers would actually direct her. Like, we would interact with her, macam act with her.
So she
would do one step and then we would react with a few other steps. Or if the steps is really, really complicated and at that time she's maybe singing a really high note and she says to us, oh, this part I really need to focus on my vocals, so I really can't do much steps, and she prefers it to be that way, then it's more minimal. Tapi we kind of do more steps to emphasize the choreography and in a way emphasize the climax of the song, which is her, you know, tarik the high note or whatever lah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And into consider, we have to take into considering like which hand is she holding the mic.
That's
always the question. So whenever she comes in rehearsals, she will always hold a mic, you know.
Oh, yeah. That plays a major role, is it?
Major role. It seems like a very small thing, but every time whenever we train without her holding the mic, and whenever she trains with the mic, confirm akan ada some issues, you know. It's like, alah, I don't understand because I'm holding the mic here. And then she needs to hold it very naturally according to her comfort. It's about, she has to sing, she has to dance, she has to interact with the audience. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So we as dancers, it's easier for us to adapt to her rather than she adapting to the choreography.
How many hours of rehearsals did you have with Datuk Siti?
I don't know lah.
Okay, how many days?
It was every day. It was day for, I think, 2 months straight before her concert. Yes, and it was maybe dalam 4 hours a day macam tu, because she's very busy. She doesn't just go for training. She go for interview. They go for a press conference. She can, you know, design her costume. And then we also have to try her costume. I just remember being very exhausted this whole journey. And the quick change for the traditional dancers. I think it was the most challenging quick change ever in my dance career.
How quick was that?
I'm talking about 30 seconds to 1 minute. And full change dengan headgear besar gedabak kat atas kepala kau. So we actually had to hire helpers. If not, in Aswara, we were only assisted by seniors or our friends only when needed. We really had to change our own costume no matter how long or short the interval was. There was just no excuse, you know. That actually trained us to be very fast adapting and also very sharp during performance and also in backstage handling. But for Datuk Siti, because we wanted to showcase different costume, we wanted to showcase different image, because it's Datuk Siti, okay? The dance costume, the song, semua kena match up to her level. When that happens, everything is even more grand. From pants to skirt, from baju kurung to baju kebaya, from headgear yang kecil to besar. So we need help. We need help.
Understandable.
And you guys have to call all of this like throughout like Singapore, Jakarta, Brisbane.
Adelaide.
Oh yeah, Adelaide.
Adelaide.
Bandi datangnya Brisbane.
It's okay. Even though we were in Adelaide, you boleh nampak dekat audience semua budak-budak Malaysia. All Malaysians, Chinese, Malay, Indian, semua tengah grooving to Datuk Siti, you know. It's mostly macam middle-aged punya audience lah. And Mak Saleh yang tak tahu lagu, our age. Mak Saleh yang
middle-aged too.
Yes, maybe yang older sikit daripada kita.
Okay.
Like all the Mak Saleh, you know, and the foreigners, you know, according to my gaze, they are the foreigners, but actually I'm in their country, but you know what I mean, right? The Australians who were watching Datuk Siti's performance, you can see them clapping, you can see them dancing along. It was just very, very sweet and very, very nice to see. So can you imagine, like, Datuk Siti, her presence is so infectious. I mean, it's just...
Like, how do you feel being, you know, next to Datuk Siti?
Oh my God. I think I still get... I just get very shy whenever she looks at me when she performs, you know.
Oh,
there's this one part in the choreography where I actually have to look at her and invite her to come across the stage lah. Macam, you know, kita orang tengah menari joget, so I tengah pelawakan dia untuk be in front of us at this right hand corner of the stage. And every time it's that part of the choreography when she just smiles at me, I try it. I just don't know. I know I'm really exaggerating this, but it's really, really true. She just has this charisma and you can feel her sincerity when she performs, you see. Even during song rehearsals, especially when she sings her ballad songs. There's one song in particular I don't know whether she wrote it, but that song was actually about her going through a really tough phase with her and her family where her husband actually was sick or got into an accident, I'm not sure. But when she was singing that song, she cried. All members of ADC, even Sir Joseph included, was just like, ayo, she's already such a personality in front of cameras, but off camera, she's just even amazing. It's just crazy. It was such an honor.
So what was your like best memory ever? Is it that moment when she smiles at you?
This is actually really very hard to choose because I actually have a lot of really, really nice memories with her. The one in Adelaide one is one of my best memories with her. And also every time when she looks at me, at that particular choreography is definitely my best moment. And also the costumes, I would say. We actually made all of our costumes from scratch. That was one of the highlights and definitely one of my best memories because it was not easy choosing and organizing all the costumes.
Are there any other artists that you've worked with other than Datuk Siti?
Other than Datuk Siti, I've worked with Kedah. I've worked with Mimi Fly. I've worked with Nick Hanani, which is an uprising singer here in Malaysia. Tia Arifin. And right now, currently, I'm working with Shasa Aziz.
Who's your favourite to work with?
My favourite? Anna,
I thought it's an obvious choice.
Of course lah, yang tu.
Of course lah, yang tu.
But it's apa, each artist ada diorang punya own flair tau, you know. So, but I would still go with Datuk Siti because we actually spent a long time with her. That actually made a lot of difference and also built a certain friendship, a certain bond with which I really cherished, yeah. Other artists pun sama, cuma we're still, you know, in that really off punya working and not working together. So mostly short projects, but whereas with Datuk Siti it was a long project.
Does she remember your name?
I hope so. Yeah.
Do you have a number?
Yeah, do you have a number?
Itu dia tak bagi. Dia tak bagi.
So tak boleh add to WhatsApp group and then like after the show and then like then like everyone sends the WhatsApp to the WhatsApp group the photos from the show or the video of the show.
Kita orang tak nampak pun kelibas number phone Datuk Siti.
Kelibas.
You memang tak nampak. Yang you nampak hanya nombor manager dia.
So if you need to call her ke apa ke, just the manager je lah.
Itu pun good luck lah sebab manager tu pun busy.
Oh my god.
Wow. Yeah, the whole team is really crazy, la, Team Datuk Siti.
Okay, I just want to ask one more question. If you could choose, like, you know, any artist in the world, you know, to choreograph for or to back up for, like, who would you choose?
Any artist in the world?
Anyone.
I have two. Satu from Malaysia, satu is international. From Malaysia, I really, really want to work with Bunga. She's actually a hijabi rapper here in
Malaysia. Yeah.
I've been following her, I think, since 2 years back last year. Mm-hmm. But ever since, you know, from her videos dekat UITM dulu, I'm a child.
Yeah, her bars are amazing.
She's so cool. You know, I have never seen anyone pakai tudung bawal and rap pakai Converse and still so cool. And then I'm like, oh my god. And when she released her new single, I really wanted to choreograph to it. Yeah. And the other one from overseas is actually this singer called Nima. I think she's new, but I actually stumbled upon her TikTok. And then I just listened to her covers and the songs that she just wrote. And
Nima, is she like the hijabi and then wear makeup?
Yes.
Her voice.
I love her voice and her latest song, Take It Off. I can't remember the title, but the song was actually inspired with her encounter with someone diminishing her value just because she's wearing the hijab. I would really love to choreograph for her. And her latest song was more of a ballad. Maybe dancing to a contemporary choreography to enhance the song would be such a dream. And also from Malaysia, one more, if I may add, is Yuna, definitely. But that's a long shot, like, because she's like a big artist. We'll see.
Well, you don't know. I mean, like, got the Datuk Siti thing, so.
Well, I got the Datuk Siti through ADC. You know, Datuk Siti probably didn't know who I was. So that's a different story. But right now, you know, hopefully, slowly, we try.
Slowly. It's okay. We'll be watching your career with great interest.
No, thank you.
Dalila's story is an inspiring one, pushing through initial setbacks and putting in the work needed to pursue her passion. For the next episode, Dalila will share a bit more about our local traditional dances, why it's important to preserve them, and some career opportunities for full-time traditional dancers. As usual, subscribe. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Till then, stay safe and keep dancing.